He's very good on the computer, and when the second to last son left home this year to start his apprenticeship in Tauranga, people said to me, "What's it like? You know, you miss him." I said, "Well, my biggest fear is I'm going to turn up somewhere and they're going to say, 'Where's Josh?' And I'm going to go, 'Oh, I forgot. I have the son at home still,' because he sits on his computer in the corner. We make him do it in the family room, but in there with all his friends all around the place. But he just sits there very quietly, interacting with a whole wide world out there, and interests that are good interests and all of that. But it's a really it's also a really scary position to be in as a parent as well. Anyway, that's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm Bruce Stormer. I've been a trustee of GC3 for the past 9 years, and for the last 3 years, I've been had the privilege of being chair of the board. I fellowship at a church called the Anchor Church. It's in Whitby and Porirua in Wellington. I'm married to Ruth. We've been married 26 years, 4 children, 1 daughter, 3 sons, and a son-in-law. No grandchildren yet. I'm waiting for that day. We're talking at breakfast with Graham and his son, and I'm looking forward to the day I can have grandchildren and return them to their parents when I've had enough fun and send them back hyped up. But anyway, I've had foster grandchildren, so I've had some practice to start. I'm a chartered accountant by profession, but my real passion has been, and joy has been, to work with the board of GC3, and in particular with Sefton Marshall at the office. And over the years I've been involved in some of the committees and all that, and then as a chair working with the office and seeing what they're doing. And so it's with that perspective that I'm coming to share with you today. Sefton will be doing this in Dunedin. I should probably wear a face mask picture of Sefton. But basically, it's our closing. Every month, end of the month, where there's a lot of work goes on in the office. And so Sefton was really busy up till Friday, late Friday night. I got an email from him, and he'll be busy again on Monday morning making sure funds get to our mission partners. So his apologies, and you have me as his replacement. So, GC3, who are we? There are a wide range of things you could say to describe who we are and what we do. But I think the best thing to talk about is the groups that we deal with. And there are two groups that we basically deal with. At the moment, we have 123 families, almost 300 people in total, sharing the gospel cross-culturally somewhere around our globe, including within New Zealand. And we're there getting the opportunity to work with that group. And on the other hand, we get to interact with the leaderships and mission teams from the 180 churches in our network. And that's across New Zealand. So it's a really exciting place to be. It's in the background often, and getting to see what these two groups of people are doing and how they are working together and what God is doing through them. So we have a team that help in that. You've met two of the team already today, Murray, our missions ambassador, and Matt, our youth director. In the office is Sefton. He's our operations director, and has a huge amount of knowledge from many, many years of being a trustee and then working in the office full time. And Heather, we have in the office as well, as our office manager, does a lot of the administration functions in the team there. As well as that, we have a board of 14 that meet 3 times a year to help guide and encourage and challenge our team as they're serving our churches and our mission partners. I just mentioned this point, the prayer hand guide, the daily prayer guide, and you'll find the staff there are on page 30, day 23, and same with the board, page 30, 31, and we'd value your prayer in what we'd that we would have God's enabling in what we seek to do. Okay, next slide. So what is GC3? Well, GC3 is an organisation that was born out of a need. And that need started 125 years ago when a young man named James Kirk from Owaka felt the call of God on his life to go to Argentina. And there was a need to provide support for him to go do that. And he went over to Argentina and he worked on the railways. He served on the railways over there. He evangelized and planted churches up and down the railroad in Argentina. And there was a need for help for being able to transition funds to him, for communication, for encouragement, for prayer, etc. And that's where GC3 was born, from this need. Our mission statement today is inspiring, assisting, connecting churches in God's mission. So GC3 really belongs to the churches. It belongs to you. It's there to serve you. It's there to serve our mission partners, as it was right back 125 years ago when James Kirk first went out. It's not there to take over missions. It's there to support. It's not there to dictate, but to encourage people in missions. Now, naturally, as part of that and our 125 years of experience, we have developed over time guidelines and policies that we provide to our churches and to mission partners to help them and to assist them in that in their process of serving the Lord. And so we believe that with all those years of experience and the many different areas that it's been tested and used in, that you can have confidence in the processes and policies that we have available for everyone. We're always, because of this, we're always willing and keen to talk to people. If you're considering being engaged in mission, connect early. We have resources available. We'll cover some of them later to help you in this journey. And if you're interested in supporting mission, we have many, many options and ways that you can support. So we're there to serve you. Please call out to us if you have any questions, any needs. Next slide. So we... that is a slide. Yes, good. Okay, so how do we do that? Well, we at GC3 subscribe to the New Testament principle that the missionaries are sent by their church. The church has the prime responsibility for each mission partner. The mission partners are called by God and sent by their church. We don't send mission partners as an organisation. Churches do. But we can provide the assistance and the guides, the help and the encouragement. In this last year, we've handled funds as part of that. We have an administrative financial part, and we have handled $2.5 million of funds coming through and going out to mission partners. In 2019, that was $3.1 million. So there's a reasonable amount of money going through that we take very seriously, a responsibility to protect and make sure it gets from the donors, the churches and individuals, to the mission partners. And we've got proven systems, time-honoured, robust and reliable systems that pass those funds out. We are funded partially by charging a small fee for providing that service. We charge 8%, but limit it to $200 on any maximum, on any funds that come through. But always feel free to add more if you'd like to. At this point in time, we're in a really interesting time with systems. We've heard about technology, and technology has its good side as well as its bad side, and we are at the moment starting to implement a system that will allow us to use technology to provide more information, faster information, and transfer of funds, etc., for our mission partners. So we're looking at a new system, or we started training on developing new technology to allow us to do that. Gone are the days when my father was a trustee many years ago. He would go, he would tell stories of going up and to the office and having the big ledgers and all the numbers, and it would take them all night to work through and add up and cross add and all of this sort of thing. Now computerized, but with this generation of technology, there's even more things we can be doing there. So that's really exciting. Some of the other ways, so that's some practical financial ways that we help. Some of the other ways is in our the booklets that we provide. So the next slide, we just mentioned here some of the stuff, the material that we can provide in guidelines. So in commendation, we've got a booklet available, Is God Calling You? It's on display out there, and it's also able to be downloaded digitally. From putting another hat on as an elder in a local assembly that sent a young person out on missions a few years ago, found it really helpful to be able to sit down and work through with her some of the issues raised in that book, and to work through and help us as a church understand what our responsibility is that we are sending, what does commendation look like, etc. So that's a resource there. We've got resources for people while they're on the field and for churches. You know, the health and safety stuff, you've all come across it in business, I'm sure. It's an issue for us and our mission partners as well. So there's resources for that. And a big thing is also just helping our mission partners when they come back to New Zealand, whether it be on furlough or permanently. Just that's a huge transition. And having resources available both for them and for their church to understand and talk through what does that look like and what does support look like through these transitions. So they're also available. One of the things that probably doesn't get, obviously doesn't get seen, but that the office and GC3 as a whole seek to do is this pastoral care. Now, again, I emphasise that we believe the church is the primary responsible for the mission partner in pastoral care. But we see there is a need there often. Over time, a church and the mission partner might have people who were first around when that mission partner went out have moved on. They've gone to glory. There's not necessarily such a connection, a strong connection. And so we see an important thing in needing to provide pastoral care to these people. And we do that in the form of visits. So we try and have, it's obviously been, as everything in life has been changed by COVID, so is our pastoral visiting plan. But we have sought over the years to visit mission partners, to go to where they are, to understand the issues they're facing, to help and to be a listening ear. Obviously, there's communication, there's letters. But a key thing, a key role, especially that Sefton undertakes, is that personal connection with mission partners and messages. He and I were talking yesterday, and I'm going to talk also about Ashley shortly, but he read me a message that had come from Ashley just the other day. And there's a very strong personal connection and interest being shown and feedback back so that we can, as an organisation, as an office, can be seeking to provide support, encouragement and prayer as needed. And we see a part of our role is to really encourage the churches to love their mission partner to bits. It's really hard. We're busy in our own lives here, but they need our support, our care. And so where we see a role too is to really be encouraging and challenging churches in the role they have. Then the next thing we do is in terms of prayer and promotion. And you hopefully all know about the daily prayer guide. And if you haven't got one, please get one. There'll be some out there in the foyer as well. We also send out a weekly prayer e-connect. It's received by about 600 people. If you're not one of them, please give us your email address and we'll happily add you to the database of that, sending out just a weekly email, a bit of an update from some mission partners and prayer requests. I know that years ago, the Treasury was a loved magazine for its, and it had a lot of mission news in it. The issue with that was it would come by letter and then get published, printed, and then posted out. It was out of date by the time churches got it. Today, with technology, we can have really up-to-date requests. The office asks mission partners right here and now for next week, early this week, they're asked, what are your priorities right now? And then on Wednesday, they're out around the country and people are being prayed for. So I really encourage you to be a part of that. Hear the stories, hear the prayer needs, be praying for our partners. We're also using the Digital Babylon, the social media, etc., to do posts and trying to reach out with stories, and using email and articles and all of that to encourage missional thinking and interest. In terms of practical support, this is another thing that's behind the scenes, but I just want to highlight some of the stuff that Sefton deals with. There's a lot of really practical things that our mission partners need support in. I've listed some up there. New Zealand superannuation. You may not yet be at the age of superannuation, but you may have heard about the whole, if you're out of New Zealand for a certain amount of time, you stop qualifying for super. Our mission partners, due to board members of many years ago advocating for them, have a government exemption from that. But it's one that often the department themselves don't even know about. Just recently, like a couple of weeks ago, Sefton had contact from a mission partner who had been declined their super. And Sefton was able to point them, here's chapter, verse, send this off, you won't have a problem. So that has come about because of a practical issue many years ago that GC3 advocated for, argued for with the mission partners, and we're still needing to, and we're available to provide all the support and evidence that is needed for our mission partners to be able to receive what they're entitled to. Interest on student loans. One of the issues for our mission partners, young going out, is the debt they've got and the interest requirements. While they're here in New Zealand and they're working, they don't pay interest on that. As soon as you go overseas, you get whacked with interest. Advocacy has allowed us to again become an approved organisation that gets an exemption for some of these issues for our youth, young missionaries going out. Takes a bit of work sometimes, some of these things. It's not seen, but it's a lot of work put in behind the scenes. KiwiSaver's the same thing. When that came in, there's a lot of advocacy gone in so that our mission partners can be part of these schemes. In terms of the other things, you've heard a lot today already about working with youth and youth leaders and our Headspace program, and Matt and the review we're doing with that. The program, we've got lots of great stories that have come out of Headspace, of youth coming through that. And our desire in not running it this year was not to put it away and say it's had its time, but to say how can we continue on that foundation, building a program that is cutting edge, engaging with our youth for the sake of the gospel. And then we have, of course, Murray, and Murray along with Joy and their extensive missions experience, and that Murray's important role in being out with the churches, encouraging thought on mission and teaching and trying new things. And Murray's trying, there's a new material that he is going to be trialling in Whangarei later this year. And we're really excited. We don't know how that will go and where that will end up, but basically trying to continue to work with and develop material that will encourage churches in God's mission. So just wanted to take the time, I've got a couple of minutes still, to talk about stories. And the story that Sefton shared with me and that I've been a little insight into, and you've got a great insight already this morning from Hayden, is the story of Ashley. And I got to meet Ashley in 2019 in Rome. There's a conference called the International Brethren Conference on Missions. It's held every 4 years. And in 2019, I got to go to Rome, along with about 20 others, some from the GC3 board and staff. And we, as we prepared for that, we thought, you know, this is a great opportunity. There are people from missions from all around the world, from Brethren missions coming together. Wouldn't it be great to have some younger not so grey-haired people there. And so we looked around and said, why don't we ask a couple of our mission partners and make it possible for them to come along and to see what they're part of something even bigger. And Ashley and Polly, we invited them along. And so I got to spend time with them. And we had one day at a lunchtime, we separated out, and there was about 20 of us sat in a circle from New Zealand with Polly and with Ashley and listening to their stories. And boy, was it moving. I was humbled as I sat there and listened to this young lady tell of her experiences and what she was doing, of God's call on her life. And it was a very special time. As you heard, Ashley was involved with our Headspace program as a gapper. But not only that, she then actually worked in the program as an intern. So she had 2 years of Headspace as a gapper and then as an intern working with others. And she's a wonderful example of that outcome of investing in the youth. What she also, the reason Sefton wanted me to talk about her story was because she is a great example of the three working together, Mission Partner, Church, and GC3. And Sefton can't speak highly enough of the support and the encouragement that Alice Road has given her. And as we look at various Mission Partners, that is not something we take for granted, unfortunately. But the support is just a model of how we see missions working and where we can sit in beside and provide some of that support, that encouragement. But the opportunities that she's had, along with the concerns that have already been raised, the concerns of GC3 as well. And in her situation, we know we can pick up the phone, and Sefton does, and he can talk to Kevin. And so issues like COVID, you know, we did a whole lot of work around COVID, contacting churches and saying, what is your plan for your mission partner? Where are they at? What's the escape route? What is your plan if this and this happen? Just encouraging churches to work through. There were some great responses from a lot of churches. Some, I have to say, hadn't thought about it or thought it's not my problem. And so just that's where Ashley is a wonderful story, I think, of all three working together for the mission of God. If we move on, Sorry. So I just wanted to close with a reminder and a summary, I guess. We're here for you. So we're here to help you. We're here to serve. And look, if there are ways that we can do that better, please let us know. Let Sefton know at the office. We're always happy to talk, to take feedback. I'm happy to take feedback. And if you'd like to talk to me in the lunch break, happy to do that. Thank you for your support of GC3 over the years as we've sought to support you and the mission partners. If you would like any further information, there are some contact details up there. Like I say, if you'd like the eConnect, please give us your email address. We'll put you on that database. We're here to help you. We're not here to tell you how to do mission or who to send or where to send them, but to help you and your those that are called by God to go to other places to reach those cross-culturally, to provide you that help in that journey as you and they seek to spread the gospel worldwide. There's one other flyer out there too I'd just bring your attention to, but I'm an accountant. I love numbers, so I like this one. But you know, some people like graphs, so you know they've got little pictures there. But basically, just a bit about legally, we have three different trusts to meet with our tax compliance rules, etc., that do what we do. But basically, we're about all of these things, doing them through three different entities. But this is the one that I really like, and 123 families out there serving, 2,850 accumulated years of service on the field serving God at the moment. Let's push it to 3,000 or 4,000. Who knows where we could get that to, with your help and God's blessing. Thank you.